Blog Talk Radio.
Take a magic carpet ride.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Jaina with another first day of the week with the Yehuda Project on the radio show. It is a pleasure to be here with you today. All praises be to the Most High Yah as we are entering. This is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread for us. I hope everyone is enjoying the feast and have eaten a piece of unleavened bread. If not, make sure you do it before midnight because you have to do it every day for 7 days. So I think that's great. Shalom, shalom. Someone please push 1 and let me know if you can hear me. Now, I'm not going to call on you. I just want somebody to push 1 so they can let me know they hear that you can hear me. Brother Uriah, if you can hear me, please push 1. I just called on somebody to do it if they can. Thank you so much. All right. All right, all right. Shalom, shalom, people. Well, you know, this is the day where we get to talk about other stuff. I mean, you know, on a Sabbath day, we talk about prophecies, we talk about scriptures, and I love the word. Don't get me wrong. I can talk about it all day, every day, 7 days a week. However, there are days like today that we can talk about things that are not related to Scripture. So, I want you someone, you know, it's been a big thing all for the last week and a half about the Will Smith slap and the Chris Rock slap. And everybody has weighed in on what they think about it and all this kind of stuff. So I was telling one of the brethren, you know, because they brought it up last week. And I said, well, you know what, we'll just wait until Sunday to get everyone's opinion and think see what they think. You know, I know people are sick of hearing about it. They're sick of it being all, it's everywhere. You know, my sister was like, now they're going to start all these clubs with alopecia and this and that and the other, you know, and it just seems to be everywhere. But not only that, I have some other things that I want to discuss, but I was just curious to think of what the men thought. I mean, I want the women's opinion too, because in the women's class, we took a poll, you know, to see how the women felt, and it was kind of, you know, it was kind of similar, but it was a little mixed. You know, and I asked some other people I asked my grandsons, and one was one way and another one was another way. So, I mean, everybody, you know, has weighed in on it. So I just wanted to know, you know, if anybody wants to weigh in on it, what did you think about it? Some people don't even think it was real. You know, I don't know. I can't say one way or the other, you know. And I don't watch the Grammys. I don't watch any of that ever. But, you know, I did see someone sent it to me and I saw it, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I was just wondering, you know, what do you guys have to say about it? Please push one if you want to give your comment. Anybody out there have a comment? Want to talk about it? Want to deal with it? Have anything to say about it? I mean, because I'm curious. It's been a lot of back and forth, and I don't want to give my opinion because I don't want everybody to jump on the bandwagon. Well, yeah, that's right, Yaina. You know what? I want other people to say something if you want to. You know, how did you feel about that? You know, because it was mixed feelings. You know, I've seen some people on the Breakfast Club say, you know, if it was me, I'd have slapped him. He'd have hit the floor, and I've seen some of the other sportscasters say, I would have beat his so-and-so, so-and-so. I mean, it just went from one extreme to the other. So I'm going to open up the mic. Area code 504. Your mic is open. So what do you think about all that?
Well, it's quite simple. It was fake. It was a ritual. I've seen better acting in the WWF. You know, I'm going to do this to you, and I slip at your mom and all this other kind of stuff. I think that's what he had to do to get that Oscar. And if he didn't go there and do that, you know, he'd have been 4, 5, 6 years down the road getting one with gray hair. You know what I'm saying? And because look how long it took Denzel to get one. Look how long it took Sidney Poitier to get one. And then he was the first one to get one, and he wasn't even an American actor, you know. And, you know, it was just jive. Like you said, people tired hearing about it, so that's my opinion on it.
So you think it was fake?
For sure.
Okay.
If anybody would have did that to you, you know, if anybody did that talking about my wife, I would have told him, you know, I did one of two things. I would have went up there, and he would have been floored, or I would have went up there, whispered something to say, you know, I'm going to see you in the parking lot after this is over with. Straight up.
So from a man's point of view, if it was real, you justified the slap.
If it was real, yes. Or I would have just told him something. You know, yeah, there's a time and a place for everything. But like I said, I'd have just went up there, I would have whispered something in his ear. I would have wrote a little note saying, Chris, I'm going to see you behind after the Oscars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. I understand, absolutely. I'm just curious, you know, because I'm, you know, every time I look at it, it looks fake. You know, the more I look at it, it looks fake. I don't know whether it was real or not, but it looks fake, but I don't know. I mean,
It was your typical stunt Hollywood acting where you throw a punch and the guy, you can go back and look at a lot of Westerns, a lot of fights. The person is always a few inches behind you when they throw that punch, and when you throw it, it looks real, like you hit somebody. And then when he threw the punch, he could have just took his other hand and slapped the other hand like that, see? It's not like you hit somebody. He didn't even hit him. because he would have been on the floor, or he should have fell back a little more. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it do kind of look phony. It does, you know, but I wasn't sure. You know, even Snoop said that. Snoop Dogg was like, I don't know if that was real or not. I still don't know if that was real or not, you know, and they was like, well, what's your opinion? He said, I don't know if it was real or not. So, I mean, you know, you just, I don't know. Hold on, let me open the mic up. Area code 347, your mic is open, you're on the air.
Shalom.
Yes, sis.
I don't usually watch the Oscars, but I found myself watching it last week, and I was enjoying it. I'm going to tell you, the music was good, the women hosts were good, and I'm going to tell you, I rolled over for a minute and fell asleep right as that incident happened. My sister calls me. She's like, did you see it? Did you see it? And I turned over and I looked, and it's coming back, you know? But anyway, I thought it was, when they replayed it, I thought it was fake. I thought it was fake. And as the days went on and they kept on reviewing it and all this stuff transpired, you know, I was like, okay, well, maybe it was for real. But when you look at it, he was laughing, Will Smith, before he decides to go up there and take care of whatever, you know? But
right. But
let me tell you what gets me. The best interview I saw after that was Will Packard. Now, Will Packard was the producer, and this was the first Oscar that was wholly black produced. The whole production crew was black. So whatever went on got totally overshadowed. That fact got totally overshadowed. And Will Packard was saying, you know, he felt so low when that happened. So I don't know if he, even the producer, thought it was real or not, you know. But he says when it happened, he didn't think that it would be a problem because, you know, Chris Rock, if anybody can carry on an improv, is Chris Rock. Okay, but I'm going to cut this short. So I wasn't too sure if it was real, the whole thing, until this morning I'm looking at Good Morning America again, and they have Denzel and T.D. Jakes. And that's where I'm like, oh, wait a minute now. Here's the okie doke, you know? So now I'm like, okay, it's probably staged, because now they done pulled in T.D. Jakes in there too.
So let me ask you this. If it was real and that did happen, what would be your response to that?
Me, I say Bill is totally wrong because he is a comedian himself, okay? First of all, nothing justifies violence, okay? Nothing justifies violence. But Will is a comedian. All he had to do was get up there and do the dozens or whatever. He could have handled it differently.
Okay.
He could have used his words. He could have rapped. He could have did anything but punch that guy, slap that guy.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm just curious to know, you know, what you guys think. Anybody else want to push one? I'm going to get Brother Uriah's mic open. Brother Uriah, I opened up your mic because I didn't know whether you wanted to respond to that or not.
Yeah, I respond to it. Nothing gave me any indication that it was fake. On the onset, when it happened, I thought it was a gag, or I thought it was staged at the beginning. But now that we had a chance to process it, you know, there's other things coming out of it, and I don't think that it was fake, at least not at this point. However, I think Will Smith, in my opinion, was in the wrong with that. Like the sister said, any bad joke or whatever do not constitute violence. He had a time to process that. It was very impulsive, if that was real. And he should have never hit anybody in the face. There's the laws against that. Matter of fact, that's called an assault. He can actually go to jail for doing what he did. And he's in that world of entertainment. And him and Jada is not new to that business. They've been in this business for a very long time. And they should have been used to some of that criticism or some of them bad jokes. And sitting in the front row, it took him a little time. He was in his seat. She got out of the seat, walked across the floor, walked up the steps, walk across the stage and slap him. So that was a long period of time for him to do what he did and thought about it. But he didn't think about it. He just went and slapped him. So, yes, my opinion, I think Will Smith was definitely in the wrong. That's my opinion.
Okay. You know, like I said, everybody has – I want to hear what you guys have to say. Anybody else have a comment on what happened with Will and Chris Rock? Will Smith and Chris Rock, please push one. We have some people that say they think it was fake. Others say – they think it was real. Some say he was justified, and some say he wasn't. I mean, you know, it is definitely You know, like one of the women said in the women's call, it's a teachable moment. It really was a teachable moment. You know, because I have a lot to say. I don't want to.
You know, Cecilia, you know?
Yes, ma'am.
The other thing is, they have all their business in the street all the time. So why now are you getting all, on the defense? You put your business out there. You live a swinging lifestyle. Okay, yes, it was. She has alopecia, and that's personal. Now, I'm going to tell you, I am coming back from cancer myself with chemotherapy and the radiation. Where I lost all my hair and stuff like that. And I don't take myself that serious because my hair was gone. Okay, and if you listen to the joke that he told, you know, to me it was kind of like a compliment. Like, hey, you got this. You're the superhero woman, the Shiro. You know? That's how I looked at it when I first heard it, because, you know?
And if I can add to what the sister's saying, if anybody has seen the movie G.I. Jane, it wasn't a bad thing to say. Actually, I thought it was a compliment, actually. She was
exactly.
A strong woman. She went to the army. So it wasn't nothing bad about it, being a bald woman to me. And I think she looks pretty, like she was. I really do.
Okay. Hold on, let me get this mic open. Brother Leonard, your mic is open. You're on air.
Yeah, I see there is a bigger picture going on because of back when Great Britain had the pound was the number one currency, World War II came, they had all these distractions because they were getting ready to make a reset. America, the dollar came in. Well, we're in the middle of a reset now. So they bring these actors. They bring out their goons they got. So look at it. It's an actor over there in Ukraine. The guy that's the president for Ukraine, he's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
So you think that's a coincidence? You think that's a coincidence that he's in that position when all this happened? They're all actors, and they play their roles, and they're using distraction because he's in the middle of a worldwide reset. A new currency is going to come on the scene. That's the way I look at it.
That's a possibility, too. That's a strong possibility, too. That it is a major distraction, you know, to keep people talking because there's a major reset going on in the world when it comes to world dominance and the world currency. I mean, that's a really good point, too. I mean, it is. Because people are
going to wag the dog.
Say that again.
No, I say it's true. Some wag the dog. And that's why I was saying when they brought in T.D. Jakes, it's like, okay, so let's get maybe the black church-going people in on this conversation and distract them, too. Or I don't know why he's in it now.
Right. That's true.
They got oats. And at least the city people, so whenever they need them to do so, they're going to come out and do it.
That's true. That is very true. Well, I mean, you know, you guys gave some good points. I mean, you know, like he said, it's a major reset going on. You know, effective April the 1st, the petrol dollar is no longer being used overseas to buy oil by any country that's dealing with Russia. You know, and they're lining up, you know, these countries are lining up with Russia. So this is a major move as well. You know, and you're right, it could be just a big distraction, you know, with all of it. So, you know, it's true. I mean, you know, that is very true. I agree with you guys, or everybody on it, you know. Everybody's point is valid. Anybody else want to push one and chime in on it? Anybody? You know, because my thing is, I've just watched the whole culture of it happen, and it kind of grew a life of its own, and everybody's so appalled about, oh, I can't believe, you know, all the violence, and he used violence. But that's what you promote is violence. Most of the rewards that you, awards that you pass out for the parts that's being played by these people is violent. That's, you know what I'm saying? When you look at TV, that's all you see is violence. Now, all of a sudden, because it's supposedly unscripted and you didn't have any control over the narrative, now all of a sudden it's a terrible thing. TV is terrible. movies is terrible. It's just violence, immorality, killing, drugs, sex. That's all you see on all these movies. So now everybody's offended? Now everybody's appalled? You know, it's just like it's just a contradiction of everything they promote. You know, and it's like, you know, no matter, it's just, that's all it's about. Now, my thing is this, and I feel like this. It's a man's responsibility to protect his wife. At any cost, he's supposed to protect his wife. I think if it was real, I think it was very insensitive for him to do that because of her condition. You know, I don't think that it was right for that to be done. He should have not put her on the spot like that, you know. But at the same time, you know, like you said, you know, when you put your business in the street, everybody know your business, everybody has something to say. But from, I feel like a black woman is an endangered species. She really is. You know, and the way that they portray us on television and the things that they have us doing on television, on basketball-wise and hip-hop or whatever they call it, love hip-hop, you know, this is the image that they portray us as. And if he did that out of spite, I think that he was justified in protecting his wife. Because I feel like this, if you bring it in front of the whole world, you're going to get it in front of the whole world. Because I don't think it would have been appropriate to go backstage and do nothing. You, especially if you knew what you were doing. Now, if this wasn't real and it wasn't scripted, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It was fake, then okay. But when you humiliate somebody's wife, I think that he had every right to justify his wife. I don't condone violence or hitting or punching or anything like that. But sometimes it's only so much a person can take. You know, could he have handled it different? Absolutely he could. You know, like the brother said, I whispered in his ear like I'm going to see you when I get backstage. You know, something. You know what I'm saying? But if it was real and he deliberately embarrassed that woman in front of the whole world, then, yes, something should have been done. In my opinion. However, at the same time, violence is all they promote. The reason why they hand out those awards is because those actors have played parts that usually involve violence of some kind. So it's hypocritical to me. All of it is. You know, and I think it was Tiffany Haddon or somebody said, you know, usually you don't see a black man standing up for a black woman's honor. You know, and it's all of it is just messy. It really is. It's messy. So I really do hope that it wasn't real. I think everybody was out of order. But and when I talked to somebody else that I knew, they said, you know, they were the butt of the jokes at this award one time, and they took that. And then they was the butt of the jokes at another ceremony, and they took that. And after a while, I guess he got tired of it if it was real.
Yeah, they had another competition. They had another competition in I think 98, and Chris Rock was the person over the Oscars, and they boycotted. So you know, white boycotted in 1998. I think.
I remember that, and they came.
Yeah, that was in 2016 when they had Oscar So White.
Yeah, and they came at her for that too, because she told everybody about it. So I mean, you know, you just don't know. You never know what's really going on when it comes to Hollywood because they are actors, you know. But my thing is, I just was stunned at how everybody got upset because the gist of it was, you know, we don't condone violence. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And everything that you produce, there's violence in it somewhere. So that can't be it either. You know, because everything that I see on TV, especially that's black made, that's getting a lot of TV attention, is nothing but violence. It's killing, it's immorality, it's sexually explicit, and it's drug dealing and drug using. That's what sells, and that's what they produce. And when it comes to us, especially the black woman, they always put, we are an endangered species. They always have us on TV acting a fool because that's what they want to portray us like. But when it comes to protecting his wife, he's supposed to protect his wife at all costs. We just are not used to that. And unfortunately, we are not used to that happening because of the things that, how they portray us. They never, we're never seen that way. But he's supposed to protect his wife. Now, he could he have handled it different? Yes, he could have. Yes, he could have, you know, but hey, if it was real. Because I'm like, the,
yeah,
the more I look, the less it don't look real.
Yeah, and the thing is, I wish Chris Rock would speak more. Did he know that she had alopecia?
I don't know. I don't know if he knew that,
you
or
see,
he
because,
claimed he
yeah, if he knew that and he was doing a dig at her, that's totally wrong.
You know?
He claimed, that's totally wrong. If he was just saying, oh, you know, I like your hairstyle, you should be the next G.I. Jane or whatever, as what I looked at it, you know, thinking that he didn't know, you know?
Right. Yeah, you know, but you know, you the person is going through. You know, you just don't know what.
The question I would ask is, how is he protecting his wife by doing what he did? Because when he did that, that trickles effect for everything else in his life right now. Because now he's losing contracts to be in certain movies. His income level is going to go down. So I'm not sure how that he's protecting his wife. Like you said, he should have done that a whole other way instead of doing the slap in front of millions of people. I just think there's something wrong with the whole thing.
Exactly.
He
should have gone up there, took the mic, and cussed him out up there. Not punch him. You know, cuss him out up there.
Yeah, well, that's true. He could have did that. He could have walked up on stage and cussed him out right there and told him, keep my wife's blank, blank name out your mouth.
Exactly, without the slap.
Because I think that created a triple effect of everyone else that was there. It was very selfish that everybody focused on that moment. And the Oscars, it said everybody else enjoying the award that they were receiving for the work that they've done. So I think the whole thing just was a trickle effect from negativity all the way through. Not to say it perpetuated stereotypes for black men or black people in general, what he did. It's just a whole lot there. It's a whole lot there, I think, that needs to be discussed.
That's possible.
You know,
hold on, wait a minute.
You
got to. Let me get her mic open. Area code 702, give me 1 second. Go ahead, 504. What was you going to say?
But you know what? Everybody's point was right on focus, and I think even mine. But you know what we all overlooked, though? Like you said about television and stuff and all. Either way, we gave them something, just something else to talk about how us black folks perform and act, you see? You know, so you're right about that. Like I said, I would have just pulled him to the side, sent him a note. Look, man, meet me after so and so because I don't appreciate what you did. You know, but the point is, we still gave them a show. We gave them what they want to see, and now that's all over the world. And people that just every time when we break the stereotype, we come back. Some of us come back, or that was staged to come back to see they still doing it. So. You know, so that's all I'm saying.
All right, black hold on, black. Eric. 702, your mic is on air.
Yes, I just wanted to say a couple of things in regards to the conversation. The first thing is I saw or I read or heard something where Beyonce's dad made a comment, about the incident, and he felt like it was not cool for Will Smith to do that, but he also felt like basically you're honoring your wife, but your wife needs to learn how to honor you. Now, I say that to say this. In the comment section, someone had commented, you know what, you make a perfect point, except you're not the right person to be saying this. And I say all of that because I hear what you're saying about honoring the black woman. It's nice to see a black man honoring the black woman. I hate that that's not exactly the model of a black woman that I would like to consider representing me. That's the first thing. Second thing, also another twist of this whole thing, I don't know if it's been said already or if you know, but Pfizer is supposed to be coming out with a drug for alopecia. So I don't know if that was coincidental or what. So that's all I wanted to say. I'll leave it back to you guys.
All right. Well, you know what? Like I said, it's everybody has their own opinions as to how, you know, it should have been done or it could have been done. I think it was done, even in joking, it was done in poor taste. I think, you know, nobody, you can only take so much, you know, anyway, no matter what it is. You can only take so much. I don't condone violence. I mean, I'm not the person to go put my hands on anybody. But I will agree to this. If you was going to tell him off, you should have walked up there and told him off and stopped that right there in a nutshell, just stopped it completely. You know what I'm saying? I really do agree with that because you have to be able. I don't believe in waiting until it's over because the damage is done. I think that it should have been handled right then and right there to let him know that's not good. That's not cool. We can't let you. I ain't going to sit here and let you just do my wife like that. You know, and again, you know, when you put your business out there in the street and everybody know your business, you know, you're going to take some, it's going to be some criticism and some fallback because you've openly shared things that should be private within a marriage. You know, and I don't have a comment about how they live or what they do and who they do it with. That's not really my issue. But like Brother Leonard said, this could all just be a distraction with all the rest of the stuff to keep people's mind off the fact that there's a major reset going on. You know, and it just, I mean, the more I look at it, you know, the less it looks real. However, his tears were real. You know, I think that, you know, he regretted his reaction and the things that he's done. But I still say that as a husband, it is a husband's job to protect his wife. And it seemed, if it was real, it seemed deliberate to me. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because how do you not know she has that? I mean, she's told everybody that she has that. She's done an interview and told people how her hair came out in the shower and it just started coming out in clumps and different things like that. You know, I just believe Hollywood is too scripted for you not to know that. I mean, you know, in my opinion, I could be wrong, but I just feel like I think that everybody was out of line. Everybody was out of place. He shouldn't have done that, and he shouldn't have pushed to the point where if that was real, that Will Smith felt like he had to take matters into his own hands. I just feel like that was wrong. It's just like somebody doing fat jokes. I remember I seen, I don't know what program it was, but it was Kurt Franklin doing some kind of show, and it was a comedian that was overweight. And I don't even know the man's name, but Kurt Franklin was making fun of him. And everybody laughed. The whole audience just bust out laughing. But when that man walked up on stage, you could see, and he said it out of his mouth. He was like, you got the nerve to be talking about somebody. You know what I'm saying? And after that, he went on a diet and lost mass weight. So it affected him in a way that, you know, nobody can stand to be the butt of a joke and everybody laughing at you. I mean, that's a lot. In my opinion, that just seems like a lot. And they thought, well, he's comedians. That's what comedians do. I've seen times when President Obama was in office, and I don't even know who the black comedian was, but he came to the White House and they were doing some sort of a performance, and because of his language and because of the way he was talking, President Obama stopped him in the middle of his performance and said, this is inappropriate. You need to change the way you do things. And I just felt like that was so important for him to do that. He stopped the man midstream in the middle of his performance and told him the language is inappropriate and the things that you're saying are inappropriate. And everybody, comedians do, and that's what, no, that ain't what they have to do, though. So I think all of it hold on just a minute. Hold on. Area code 228, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, his name is LaVere Crawford.
Who was it?
The comedian? Yes, LaVere Crawford. And LaVere got back on him with that too little suit.
Yeah, he did. You could tell in his, the way he came back, he was like, you got the nerve to be somewhere talking about somebody. Nobody wants to be the laugh of the whole audience. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
That takes a lot. Even did Will Smith laugh for a minute. You know what I mean? I guess when he looked at her face, you know, and figured out it wasn't, you know, it's just, no, don't nobody want to be. And you know what? I know families that do this to each other. They get together and they tear each other down in front of each other. And I just used to look at people like, wow, you guys do this? And they do it. I mean, they do it. It's not right. And that's a lot for anybody to go through.
Yeah, my sister would do that to me. And her excuse was, that's my sister, I can do that. Because the other people would look at her and say, why you talk to her like that? Well, that's my sister, I can do that.
Nobody
that's
wants to
she...
be put down.
Yes, true that.
Nobody does. I don't know nobody that want to be the laughing stock of the whole room. We're talking about an auditorium full of people. I mean, you know, it's just right up there with everything else. It was insulting. She was insulted. Clearly she was insulted because you could see the look on her face. And because of the way that she looked, he felt like he had to get up and do something about that. You know, and it was, and to me, you know, everybody's saying, well, comedians do that. That's what they do. They make fun of people in the audience and the blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, but it doesn't have to be that way. And when the comedian went to the White House and he went to cussing the camera, President Obama stopped him right there in the middle and said, that's inappropriate. You need to change it up. And the thing is, you didn't know that before you got there? You didn't think that maybe this kind of conversation is not the right? The Bible said everything that's lawful is not expedient. That means everything you can say, you shouldn't say. You know what I'm saying? It's rude, in my opinion. And that's just my opinion. But I think he was justified in protecting his wife. Now, could it have been handled different? You know, now that you guys say that, he could have went up there and they still would have had something to say if he'd have went up there and cussed him out. They still would have said something. And now Chris Rock is playing the victim. It's like, no, you have just as much responsibility in it as everybody else do. In my opinion. Because all of it is about violence. That's what they sell is violence. And then somebody said, well, he ain't say nothing when she said she was sleeping with someone. That has nothing to do with you. That is between them two. That has nothing to do with you or anybody else. Should she have shared it? I don't think she should have because I wouldn't have put my business out there like that. Your personal life is your personal life, and I don't think that should be shared. But the fact that she did, that still don't have nothing to do with you. Because if we put you open the book and put yours out, you know, what are we going to find? It's just, you know, but again, you know, like Brother Leonard said, it could just be, all of it could be a distraction. It could be. No, but these are people's lives. Like I said, nobody likes to be made fun of. I don't care whether they're talking about your hair, whether they're talking about your clothes, whether they're talking about your weight, whether they're talking about your body and how your body is or anything. Nobody likes to be made fun of. It's just not good. You know, so that's just where I am. And then I just feel like, hey, you know, everybody's responsible for everybody's responsible for everybody's actions. But, you know, he did what he had to do for that wife. You know, and do I agree with violence? I do not. I do not. I don't condone it. I don't agree with putting hands on nobody. But at the same time, you humiliated that woman in front of the world. And that's not cool either. But everybody had a different opinion. I mean, and everybody's opinion matters. It's not just mine. And guess what? Our opinion really don't matter at the end of the day. It's them. That whatever they choose to do, that's them. That's what they do. And that's how they live their lives, you know. And you brought it to the public, so now everybody has something to say about it, you know. And everybody told me, well, you should have prayed. We always pray. That still don't change the heart of man. We pray all the time. Yeah, I mean, you don't know how many times I pray, you know. But do that make me want to go against somebody and do? I have to pray myself down, and it take a long time. Then I have to pray for the thoughts that come through my mind. Because I done already acted out what I'm going to do. I'm like, oh, my gosh, y'all, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I got to rebuke. I got to rebuke and repent. You know? And then, you know, all that prayer stuff that you had, all that's fine. But it ain't you sitting up there. And how many men would have? So, I mean, you know. That's just, it's just messy. All of it is just messy, you know. And if it was done deliberate, and I believe if it was real, it was. I don't believe he didn't know. I don't believe he didn't know. As much as that girl, and this has been going on for a long time, her hair, nobody does that just because. Women are very sensitive about their hair. You know, and it could have been done by the producers and the directors. Who knows? It just seemed like to me it was a dig, if it was real. And I'm like, wow, you know. And Will did laugh. He smirked at first. He did. But she didn't. But then it could all be an act. We just don't know. I mean, I just really hope that it wasn't. But, you know, like I said, our kids see so much of the negative stuff. They see so much negative stuff in the fighting and the BITCHs and all the stuff that go on these live TV shows. You know, that's just another situation where it was live and up close and personal. And if it was unscripted, it shocked everybody. But that's what they produce. That's what sells, in my opinion. You know, so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, but... You know, and he probably is going to, they're going to do some backlash, and he'll probably lose a few things or whatever, or however he chooses to do it, but it is what it is. I mean, there ain't nothing you can do. It's done now. The damage is done. It's done. You know? And if we said something to somebody that was inappropriate, you know, I've heard of a lot of people getting slapped in other people's houses because they done said something that was inappropriate. Everybody don't think like we think. And I would have been offended if I had to sit through that and my husband sat there and didn't do nothing. I would have been upset. But a lot of people weren't going to move because they was afraid of what it would bring to their career. You know. So it's never, it's always done in poor taste when you can get people to laugh at other people's expense, at other people's issues. Because there's plenty of stuff to make jokes about than to tear somebody down. That's why I don't go to the comedy clubs and all that. I think that stuff is a waste of time. Because they do that. They go in on the audience. And I'm not going to pay money to come and sit down and listen to you talk about me. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm just not. I can find better things to do with my time. Just saying, in my opinion. So, I mean, you know, I just wanted to see how you felt. Anybody else have a comment? Please feel free to push one. I mean, you know, I just wanted to know how the men felt. What did you guys think about that? How did you feel about, you know, somebody attacking your wife? It's just not cool. That's not how things are supposed to be done. You know, and Denzel Washington said he just got tired. He was tired of it. So it's not cool. Anybody else have a comment about it before we move on? Okay, now the next thing I wanted to talk about, which I wanted to bring up is, you know, we have been dealing with a lot of things when it comes to Israel, and we've been having a lot of different meetings and things that we have been talking about. You know, and being conscious and knowing who you are as an Israelite, do you feel like this is restrictive to you? And what I mean is, Malcolm and I were talking earlier today, and we were talking about modesty, which is what we're doing in our women's call on Tuesday. We're trying to identify what modesty means to us. Now, we are not done with it. We're still going through it. We're still dealing with it. However, the thing about it is because before you was conscious, some people like to jog. Some people like to swim. Some people like to work out and go to the gym. Some people like to play basketball. Some people are very active with their lives. They go out. They do things. Some people ride bicycles. Some people ride motorcycles. Some people do things that they like to do. Okay? So the thing about this is when you think about from a woman's standpoint, because it's really not an issue for a man. From a woman's standpoint, do you think that this is restrictive to us? Because in order for you to swim at the beach, you got to have a swimming suit on. Is that considered to be modest? And I'm asking everybody, men and women, in order to go to the gym to be able to really work out, most women wear gym clothes. And the way they're making them today, they're pretty tight. I mean, they're tight. You know, they're the spandex stretch pants and the tops to go with all of that. That stuff is that considered to be modest? You know, when you go it's not just the gym, when you're running, when whatever sports you want to play, does that restrict us as being Israelites that we can't do these things? We just want to know what your opinion is. And I said I was gonna ask you guys today on the radio. So most of you all's mics are open. And like I said, do we stop doing those things just because we become conscious? Anybody can speak. Your mics are open. Don't everybody speak at once.
Well, I'll put my two cents in.
Okay.
I'll say absolutely not. I feel women can still do all those things. There are outfit one-piece swimming suits that have the wraparound. I think they should still be active. I mean, life doesn't stop because we become conscious. We still have to live life. We still have to exercise, and there's appropriate equipment to do those things in. So I don't see anything wrong with that at all. It's not breaking any laws, statutes, or commandments at all to be active. As long as you keep those commandments, I think you'd be fine.
Okay, so what about, okay, and that's what we said, Brother Uriah, since you were the first one that spoke up. But then you think about it. Let's say going to the swimming pool, going to the beach. You know, do you still wear that two piece that looks like a bra and a pair of panties, or do you go to a one? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I said one piece. You can do the one piece with the wrap. Women have that wrap that goes around the one piece.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and it still serves a purpose.
Okay.
Here's what I think. I personally, I'm still very active. Like even this morning, every Sunday morning, I go for a 5-mile walk.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter, who is, well, like 1 foot in the truth and 1 foot out, she would come and she would wear her leggings, you know, without her top being covered and all that stuff, you know. And I'm in my skirt with my leggings under it. You know, there's a way to do it that you don't have to, like, be totally immodest. To me, now in the truth, I don't wear a two-piece. I do a one-piece, you know, and I try not to wear very tight and revealing clothes. I mean, you don't have to look like a nun you know, but right. there's a line.
Okay. Well, I mean, we just asking those things because those are the things, and the reason why we're asking because you guys think that's trivial, but those are the things that people are going to want to know when they come over here because you don't want to be, and Brother Uriah, you know what I'm talking about, you don't want to be as restrictive as the church has been in past times.
Exactly.
Because they would be like, well, just don't do it at all then. If you can't, you know, if we can't find a happy medium ground, then it's probably inappropriate for you to do it. But it's like, no, we still have to be active. And sis, let me ask you this. You wear a skirt when you walk because of you feeling like that's the appropriate dress, correct?
Yes. I mean, I'm going to tell you, some days my skirt will be like past my knees, and in that case, I will not put on any leggings. But if my skirt is above my knees, I'm putting on leggings.
Okay. Now, do you wear pants without a skirt?
I don't wear pants at all.
Okay, I got you. And we're not knocking that. I mean, everybody has the right to do however they decide to do according to the way they believe the scriptures are written. And those are the things that we have to be able to come to grips with when it comes to that. Because there's a lot of people that are coming into this that are all ages, that are dealing with a lot of different things. And if you're going to be active and if you're going to ride a bicycle and you're going to do what you need to do, you should be able to wear the appropriate clothes to be able to do that.
So what do you feel about the men wearing the Speedo swim trunks? On the other end.
Well, I mean, I'm asking you, what do you think about that?
Well, personally, I don't do that anywhere. That's just my personal opinion. I usually wear the trunks as well as in the Speedos.
And the Speedos are skin tight, right?
Yeah, the skin tight, the ones they wear like the Olympics kind of fit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I'm asking the brothers. I mean, what do you guys think about that? Because personally, me, as far as the women are concerned, I feel like the spandex workout outfits that they are selling now is inappropriate for me to wear. I would dare not because I'm a different age group. I just don't feel like it's appropriate for the contour of the body to be seen. However, some women can do that when they're running. They feel more comfortable in that. They run in that. They work out in that, you know, and they do what they need to do, and there's clothes for them to do that in. But like I said, this is a touchy subject because everybody has a different identification of what modesty is. So I don't know. What do you men think about the Speedo? What do you think about the things that we're saying?
Go back to the law, Leviticus, Deuteronomy.
And what does it say when it comes to that kind of stuff?
Because, I mean, you know, first of all, when you have, you got the elders and all that, that's disrespectful because you don't supposed to show no part of your body in that way to even tempt a man or vice versa, tempt a woman. So to even show the flesh or showing the silhouette of his body, that ain't good.
So he said, okay, I mean, he said he don't feel like that's appropriate for us to wear clothing. My thing is we have to look different from everybody else. Now, how we achieve that, I'm not sure. Without restricting activity, I don't think we should wear what everybody else wears.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? Now, how we do that and how we implement that, there's where the problem lies in. But I feel like if we're Israelites and we're keeping those laws, statutes, and commandments, we should do things differently. You know, we shouldn't wear what everybody else wears and look like everyone else looks because there has to be a difference between the way we conduct ourselves and the way everybody else conducts themselves. And unfortunately, when you go to buy these clothes to work out in or you go to buy this stuff, It's very, very revealing. It's very revealing.
And you know, you have to go back to the scripture where those laws are addressed, and a lot of the time it says is that your nakedness be not discovered. And we know, okay, you're not going out there naked, but when you wear a certain form of clothing, you might as well be, you know? So you have to, holy people cannot go out there showing their body form, you know, to the point where, oh, there's nothing left to be discovered, really, you know? Because you could put on a dress down to your ankles, but if it's tight and all the curves are showing and everything, you might as well not bother.
Right. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I do. I agree with you 100%. And therein is the problem, is being able to say, okay, how do we, because every company that you go to has a dress code. The ones that I have worked in has dress code.
Thank you.
And
so why not y'all?
Right. Hallelujah. So, you know, when you're dealing with that, you have to be able to say, okay, what do we do? Because if you leave it up to the individual, what I think is modest may not be what you, I'm like you. I don't believe that any girly parts should be revealed, you know, of any kind, you know, that there's a way to do it and still be pretty and do the things that you feel about yourself. But when you talk about sports and you talk about activities and you talk about swimming and you talk about running and you talk about bike riding, you know what I'm saying? Whether you're playing baseball, whether you're playing volleyball, all of those things are sports related that require you to wear certain attire.
And Sister Yaina, it's only becoming a problem lately because I remember when I was younger and the basketball players, they had the shorts that were long and they weren't so tight and there was no issue, you know? Even the swim trunks and stuff, there wasn't Speedos and things like that. You know, it's only of late that these things have gotten ridiculous.
I agree with you.
It's not just the women. I feel uncomfortable when I see a man up there with all his package showing. I'm like, that's inappropriate. I don't care to know that.
I agree with you 100%. But I agree with you. I mean, I just really do agree with you. You know, that's really going to be, that's an issue for us to really have to deal with, you know, from a male and female perspective. You know, how do we govern ourselves when we look a certain way and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's just a lot. That's a lot, you know, to be able to have to deal with when you start talking about the dress code and, you know, what would be considered to be, you know, modest for a woman, you know, because men are going to be in tights anyway, one way or the other. Even if you got a skirt dragging the floor, they'll find a way to look and see what they need to see, you know. So I don't know. I mean, I really don't. We was talking about that this morning, and I was like, you know, that's something that is going to really require some serious prayer and some serious thought to it. You know, because there has to be a difference in the way we look and everybody else looks.
There better be. I don't know if you remember the scripture in Zephaniah. And I think they're talking about the day of the Most High. And he says he's going to, when he does his sacrifice, he's going to punish the king's children and all that are clothed with strange apparel. I always think about that. I'm like, what does that mean? Strange apparel.
Exactly.
You know? So there's something to your dress. You can't just how you feel like.
I think it's tied to the sex, because of, you know, if you go back to sex, well, our definition of what sex is not the same as Most High, because of Judah 3:7. The boys that went into Tamar and when they pulled out, so he killed them because they pulled out. So the whole intention of a sexual encounter is to bring forth a seed. It's not what we think it is.
Wait a minute, I missed that part. Say that again.
So the whole purpose of a sexual encounter between the male and the female is once they become together is to bring forth seed. It's not about what we think sex is. So it's not about the pleasure part of it. It's to bring forth seed. So
now,
he killed Judas. He killed Judas because they pulled out. Huh?
I said I kind of have to disagree with you on that one. I think it was made for both for the pleasure of that and to bring forth children, because it is pleasurable, but it's supposed to be between a husband and a wife, that male and that female coming together and experiencing each other and then bringing forth children. I don't believe it's just a duty that we do just to bring forth kids.
Well,
he killed
Judas' son. Yeah, he killed Judas' son for pulling out. So that means
he didn't want to get her pregnant, though. He didn't want to get her pregnant. He didn't want to put his
He didn't want to see.
Right.
He pulled out. Yeah, he didn't want no seed.
Yeah, so, I just feel like that everything we do today is sex-driven, everything. You know, even if they're selling a mop on TV, it's sexy. You know, they could be selling a broom, and it's got sexy music to it. That is the society that we live in. But we have to be different than the way we carry ourselves. And the way everybody else carries themselves, there has to be a difference, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, I'm looking at this scripture in Zephaniah 1:8, and it says, "And it shall come to pass in the day of the Most High sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel." But then we don't know what that means either. That could be blended fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because we got clothes now that's out here that's all blended fabrics. Very rarely can you find 100% or 100% this like it was a while ago.
Yeah, you remember he gave the priest and he gave the priest and Aaron and the king. Now we gave them a certain garments they have to wear.
True. 100% linen. That is true.
Right.
I mean, I'm agreeing. I mean, you know, when it comes to, you know, wearing pants, I don't agree with this, that scripture means that women can't wear any pants pertaining to a man. I grew up in church like that. Everything I wore a dress all the time. Now, when the summertime comes, I do wear capris and I wear a shell or whatever, but they below my knees and they're not tight. But I don't knock anybody else that believes that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I think it's such a gray area in terms of the way that we're supposed to look. I just don't want us looking like everybody else. And everybody's walking around with tight-fitting clothes on. You can see a woman, everything about a woman with the clothes that they're wearing today. And not only see the silhouette of it, but you can actually see some of the body flesh. So that's
right,
what I'm saying.
Right.
Coming together, we have to be able to make a difference between. We're not supposed to look like that.
Yeah, that brings on a lot. That brings on a lot of other stuff. Like I was saying, especially with Israel, you know, the eyeballing, because that's disrespectful. You see a man and his wife, and they're together. You already know they're together, but you still eyeballing them. So that's wicked as hell.
Nah. I don't know no man that ain't gonna look. I'm just, hey,
That's what I'm saying about all that goes in play because it's all part of. I mean, you got to look back at our forefathers. They weren't doing that. The righteous ones, they weren't doing that. You know, it goes way back further than what people think it goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a touchy situation. It's a touchy subject. It really, really is. It's a very touchy subject. It really is. And without offending anyone, you know, it's a very touchy subject because when you have young women and young men that are coming in here, they're not going to walk around looking crazy like we think they are. They're going to want to look and dress like everybody else dresses with, you know what I'm saying, without revealing a whole lot of stuff. They're not going to look like old people is what I'm saying. They're not going to do that.
Right.
This is
So maybe we can get a fashion designer to design our own clothing.
That would be. I've been looking, Brother Uriah. I've been looking for that for 10 years. I will be honest. Not only designers, not only fashion designers, seamstresses, and everything. I've been looking for that for years. I have. I really have. You know, and that's an issue. I mean, it really is an issue. You know, do we wear, my wardrobe is a variety of skirts, dresses, all kind of stuff. You know, all kind of stuff. But when you talking about, like I said, young people, they not wearing their skirts all the way to the floor. I don't even. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not knocking anybody who does, but I don't. So it's a situation where, you know, it's really going to be something touchy because, you know, people, and the reason why I say that is because the church has been liberated. The church has truly been liberated from all the restrictions, and then for them to be liberated and then come over here and there's more restrictions, they're going to be like, no. So I think, you know, that it's really good. And I, you know what, and I encourage all of the women that are on here today to come to our class on Tuesday night, especially this Tuesday, because we're going to be introducing different fashions and talking about what we feel is modest and what we feel isn't, from the makeup to the clothes to everything. And it's very important to get feedback because these are the things that we want to put on the website, the questions and answers, the things that are questioned that we have answers to. You know, because I didn't even think about the men in the speedos. I guess I'm so sheltered. I don't even see that often. But I imagine they wear them at the gym too. You know, and I feel I'm like you, sis. That's inappropriate. I don't want to see that either.
Yeah. I don't know. People look at me like I'm old fashioned, but I have like. This thing where one time I was really in the church. I was really heavy into that, not wearing the pants, the jewelry and all that stuff. But
right. What
in reading, you know, I'm like, you know, this doesn't make any sense. Show me in the Bible where. But I became convicted with the wearing the skirt. Let me tell you why. And when I say wearing the skirt and the dress or whatever, I don't mean wearing it down to your ankles. I wear my skirt. I wear them above my knees. But none of them are tight. None of them showing anything, leaving at least up to the imagination, okay? But let me tell you why. I was convicted. The Bible tells us that we should be holy in the sense that we should be separate, okay?
Right.
We cannot be like the world. So when you go out in public, and this has become an issue these days because they want to take off. When you go in public and you want to go to a restaurant, in any country, if you don't know how to speak the language, you know how to find the ladies' room.
Right.
And why is that?
Why, because you say the mannequin has a dress on?
Yeah, because
okay.
We know that pertains. In everybody's mind, that pertains to the woman,
right?
You know, and to me, I feel as y'all telling me, hello, you are a woman, and this is you, you know.
Right.
And I don't know. That's how I became convicted with that, and I took off my pants. I'm like, I have no problem. I wear the finest of everything that I wear as a dress, you know. Because I feel like I'm holy, I'm royalty, so I dress like royalty.
I ain't mad at you. I think you should. You know, and ain't nothing wrong with that. If that's how you feel and that's what you do, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You know, and then,
and here's the other thing on that though, because you know, if we were to follow the Bible, the men would also still be in the robes, and
yeah.
Only the priests wear the pants. Okay. So.
Right. And you know, I can respect that. Like I said, we have to respect where everybody comes from and what they believe. Me, on the other hand, I was just like you. I grew up in the church, and it was very stringent. I mean, it was like, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. And when I went before the scriptures and started doing the research, you know, and I did the true research of what they wore, you know, I realized that it wasn't pants that they were talking about, but I took it off, and but I have a variety of things that I wear. I wear slacks, I wear dresses, I wear skirts, I wear all kinds of things, you know, that I feel comfortable wearing, and I don't have that conviction, you know, so it's an individual thing, and it's never inappropriate. Because I'm not trying to advertise. That's something I'm really not trying to do, you know.
Yeah.
So it depends on the individual as to where they are, you know, with what they believe. And there's nothing wrong with it. And if it is, y'all have to convict me, and he hasn't thus far.
And here's the thing, and this is what I was saying about it's become like Caitlyn Jenner, okay? This whole business with men wanting to be women, putting on women's clothing and stuff like that, we have a problem with that. Isn't that a problem?
That
to me is how the society got things twisted. You know, when everybody, like, abdicated their role.
Right. I can see where you see that at. I can see that. Yeah, I mean, I see that. And I understand that, too. You know, and everybody has a right to feel the way they feel about that. You know, and I just don't think that it's right or wrong, because they have women's pants just like they have men's slacks. The women's button on one side, the men's button on the other side, the same way with shirts, blouses.
So shouldn't they have men's dresses, too? If a man wanted to wear a dress.
So, well, guess what? Some of them wear kilts in England. They wear skirts.
Exactly. Well, this is my point. My point is that everybody used to wear the same thing. And it wasn't pants.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, it's just up to the individual what they choose, how they choose to do it in terms of the way that they do it. Because there's a skirt that a man wears. There's a skirt that a woman wears. I mean, it's just different clothing. Now, I don't believe that a woman should dress in a man's suit. I think that's inappropriate. You know? I really do think that's inappropriate, and I like to say vice versa. But the men wore tunics, and the women wore tunics.
I went through this in church.
I really did. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. This ain't making sense. You know? But at the same time, I feel like if it's wrong and it's something we're not supposed to do, the Holy Spirit will convict you.
Yeah. It's also with the intent, too, because, like you said, you're not trying to be no man or whatever, you know?
And I'm not trying to advertise either. I'm not trying to advertise. But, Jen, you have some women that are. Some women want and they advertising. You know, and Brother Linda said they ain't supposed to look. Well, if you have somebody, you ain't supposed to look. But, I mean, you know, it's just one of them situations. But I still think that we shouldn't look like everybody. There should be something different about us. And if there's nothing else but the spirit of y'all, that rings true, too. Because we should carry ourselves different.
Yeah, really, we royalty.
Everybody deal with the laws, the statutes. You're always hearing it all that a lot, but you never hear about the judgment. That's what this is about. Our judgments. We're not implementing the Most High judgments now. Which is, I was reading the other day in Deuteronomy where Naomi and Ruth. Where she had lost her son, and you have to raise a seed up, the kinsman redeemer. So today, you know, that's part of his judgment. So a man can't say if he got his brother died and didn't have a seed, and his wife is there and he has to raise up a seed. He can't say I got a choice. The judgment is that you got to go into her and bring a seed. You ain't got anything but you think. And so his judgment is not being implemented. Everybody dealing with the laws and the statutes, but they're not dealing with the judgment. Like, if two men get caught together, take them outside the city and stone them to death. That judgment is not happening. That's why it's multiplying.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot to this. I mean, it is. It's a lot. Especially when we're in captivity. It's a lot. It's a lot.
A lot of times, when it comes to dress codes, a lot of the dressing comes from people's culture. Now, I'm not sure how we used to dress when we was in Israel, so maybe we need to do some research and go back. How did we dress then? Because a lot of the stuff that we're doing now comes from other nations, not just from how we used to dress. At least that's what I think.
That's true.
So cultural. Mm-hmm.
That's true. That is very, very, very true. You know, and that's what they've done. A lot of groups have gone back in the books, and they've seen different pictures and how we were dressing and what we had on and all that kind of stuff. You know, but when you read Ezekiel chapter 16, and it talks about the daughters of Zion, they got in trouble because of their arrogant attitude, but they had everything. Mm-hmm. They had the jewelry, they had the gold, they had the nose rings, they wore the fine linen, they had the bonnets on their head. I mean, they had it all. But the Most High didn't get them because of what they were wearing. He got them because of their attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these sisters were so cold. He said they, when they walked by, they tinkled. When they walked by, they made noise. When they walked by, I'm serious. And the Most High
was
like,
hardy,
oh,
right?
Huh?
How can they were hardy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they was being hardy.
The crowd.
Mm-hmm. These sisters were cold. They had their little. I don't know how they was able to tinkle when they walked by, but it was the bells was ringing when it was on them.
Them ankle bracelets with them bells on.
Right, you know, and they got in trouble for that. But they had the stuff. He didn't mind them having it. It was the attitude with it. You know?
Yeah, because we were OG back then.
Exactly, no question. So it's always been in us to be able to look a certain way, and that's just the black woman, period. I mean, for real, I can't speak for the women of the other nations. I'm not saying anything about you all. I'm just talking about us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always had it that way. It was like that. So, you know, to come here and have to deal with the different things, because at one point we had nothing to wear but a potato sack bag. When we was in slavery, nothing. So, I mean, you know, those are issues. These are the things that we really have to begin to think about as people come in, you know, because these are the questions that they're going to have. Well, what do we wear? You know. So it really is, you know, what is modesty? What does it mean?
You cover yourself. Remember in the garden, when they did the first sin, the first thing they did was cover themselves because their nakedness, they knew they were naked.
Yeah. So then let me ask you this, sis. Do you think that we should wear garments that have slits in them and all kind of stuff?
If you are uncovered, no. I mean, I wear skirts with slits, but ain't nothing being revealed.
Well, I mean, you know. Yeah, I mean.
I also remember there was one thing. It was a professor that said it. He was talking about a term paper, though. He says your term paper should be like a woman's skirt, long enough to cover the subject, but short enough to be interesting.
I know that's right. Absolutely. You know, and there has to be a difference between us and everybody else. You know, like I said, we don't dress to advertise. You know, we're not supposed to be advertising. It's not for us to advertise.
Yep.
You know, and draw unnecessary attention. It's not. You know, so, you know, then we're not dressing to entice.
Nope.
Oh, Aries 928, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Like the sister said, Shalom. Like the sister said, the Most High gave us fur skin to cover ourselves. That's what the rule of thumb needs to be. Make sure you're covered and not revealing parts that are private. Cover your private So, because that's not public, that's private. So make sure you're covered. That's what it should be made. Now, if somebody doesn't have, that's different. We shouldn't be condemning because then pride sets in. And whereas we think I would never go out like that. That could be interpreted by the Most High as pride. So be careful. Be careful when we go too far, because that way, you know, it can be interpreted as a proud spirit. We got to keep stay humble, stay lowly, stay in humility before the Most High. He said we was going to loathe ourselves for the way we dress. He said that we was going to loathe ourselves.
Yeah, I totally agree with the sister. You know, we cannot point fingers at other people because, like they say, when you point fingers, at least three of them are pointing back at you. So when you're bringing in newly awakened brothers and sisters, you know, you have to have some sort of guide, you know. You're not condemning them. Me personally, when I put on a garment, and it's usually a skirt or a dress, and this happens when I'm purchasing it, I sit down, and if it rides all the way up and I can see certain body parts, it's not for me.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I agree with all of that. I mean, you know, and you can do that in whatever age group you're in without looking, you know, you can still look young and not do that.
Exactly.
Stuff like,
you don't have to look frumpy.
Yeah, so I agree with that. I do. I agree with that, you know. So it's just a subject, you know, that until we go home and until we know exactly how he wants us to look, because we're all here in this same captivity trying to make the best of where we are, you know, we have to do the best we can until we go home and he lets us know exactly how he wants us to be. You know, because that's reality. That is reality of it all. I mean, you know. But I do think that I think Speedos and all that stuff is inappropriate. I do.
You know? Yeah, so here's this, Ben. Now, when you think about an angel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever picture you have in your mind of an angel, do you ever see them in a Speedo or a split skirt or a tight skirt? Think about it.
Well, I've never seen an angel.
Thank you.
No, I'm just saying, but in your concept of one.
Oh, well, I think one, yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know. I've never seen one to dress like that. If I were to see one, I would imagine that he would look just like you and me if we were to entertain him and be unaware that he's an angel. But I don't think that they would look like that. But, I mean, you know, I've never been in the presence of one that I could say I knew for sure was an angel. But, I mean,
right.
You know,
so my thing is, imagine if you wanted to be visited by an angel, what you would imagine them looking like?
Right.
You know, like would you want one that looked like a hoochie or the one with the tight speedos or something? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, I think everybody knows that we're not supposed to wear certain kind of clothes. I mean, you know, we just ain't supposed to wear those things. You know, like I said, you advertise. If you advertise, then you have a purpose for putting that on, because you advertise. You know, but if you know you're not, then you're not. You just have a gen. Like I said, who can tell somebody what's advertising and what's not?
Yeah.
Because some women have lost weight and they want to show their curves and burbs and all that kind of stuff, and you have to be very careful with that, because your intentions have to remain pure.
Mm-hmm.
You know. The man don't need you to do all that. They can see through all that when they want to.
Yeah. And also there's a time and a place for everything, you know, as far as dress. Because, like, you won't go on the tennis court in a ball gown, you know.
Absolutely.
You got to dress appropriately.
Exactly. That's what I said. Appropriate for the event. But not provocative like everybody else, but not provocative. And that's real talk. That is serious business, and I agree with you 100%. Appropriate, but not provocative, you know, to the point where you advertising. because we're not supposed to be advertising like everybody else does. You know? So I agree with you 100%. Well, you know, I think this has been a really, really good show. You guys have really done well in terms of the whole Will Smith thing and everything went on with that situation, you know, and the way that everybody came about it. I mean, to the point where, you know, I even had to rethink some things and say, yeah, you know, he could. Everybody could have probably dealt with it better if he'd have went up there and just told him what he said when he went and sat down, you know, in front of everybody, you know, and did that thing like that. But, you know, it's just unfortunate. But like I said, like Brother Leonard said, it may all be fake to draw everybody's attention away from what's really going on. So who knows at the end of the day, you know? But like I said, very interesting. You guys are some very interesting people. I mean, you know, with your opinions and the things that you say, and it brings value to the call. It really does. So I'm glad that we've had this opportunity to be able to do this today. Say what we. Anybody else have anything to say before we dismiss for the day? Anybody? For the women, don't forget the women's call on Tuesday is 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I want you guys to write the number down. It is 712-770-4066. 712-770-4066. And the access code is 154-102-pound. 154-102-pound. And I know that the men's call has kind of been suspended. You know, we're working on securing a facilitator for that because I know Brother William is not feeling good. We can't put too much more on Brother Uriah. You know, and if some of you all men would be interested in facilitating the men's call, please send me an email at theyehudaproject@gmail.com. You know, so that the men's call can resume because it's very important because these are the issues that we talk about. It's not a Bible class. It's not another day to argue scripture. It's a class to talk about these type of things. You know, very important topics. You know, so I think that this has been really a good class and everything. Anybody have anything else to say?
Can I open up the website to view the newsletter yet?
Not yet. We're working on that, too. We're getting it together, sis. Now that I'm off work, we're going to get all this stuff together. We're going to work it out. I'm working all next week on the website. We're going to get the newsletter out. Sister Yasantia and her sister put together a really nice newsletter. We're going to dust it off and we're going to send it out to everybody because if we have your phone number, we'll send it out to everybody and get everything together so we can do that as well.
One more thing. I wanted to ask you if it was all right because I had some specific dreams. One was warning me that my mother was going to die, and I dreamed the dream. I don't normally remember my dreams, but had someone known how to interpret the dream, I could have prepared myself about a month before she passed. I was going to ask you if it's all right if you put a column in the newsletter. If there's anybody who interpret dreams for interpretation, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
We do have all this in Israel. Yes, we are. We do really have those things. You know, we're going to have all kind of stuff in our newsletter. You know, how to deal with LGBT, if you're dealing with those type of issues. We have people on here to handle everything that can help, you know, because those are the things that we have to deal with, too. We got people coming in from all walks of life that need to know, hey, is it anybody struggling like me? Can anybody help me out? Because I need to talk to somebody who's making it through this thing and is struggling just like me. Because we coming from all walks of life. We are. You know, people that are divorced, people that have gone through abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse. We're going to have it all. Because we've got to be able to say, hey, I've been there. I can help you get through it. We'll go through it together. You know, it's almost like when you have drug issues, you have a sponsor. You know, we have to be able to talk to people and be honest and say, hey, I'll be able to reach out to you because I can handle that one. You know,
so there'll be different columns? So you have different columns on abuse and drug-related addiction, not just drug-related, because other addictions too, but different columns on different things.
Absolutely. That's our goal. Absolutely. You know, and then you get the paper, and if it applies to you and you know that that's something that you can handle, you know, you can buddy up with that person and be able to say, hey, I've been there, done that. Let's talk about it. We can get through this together. Because we got to get through this. We got to make it through this. We got to, you know, we got to stop going to the world to be able to get counseling, you know, because we got to keep his laws, statutes, and commandments and do what we need to do to break through. Not saying that some of us are legal counselors that can counsel, but it's always good to have somebody to talk to. So that's our goal. We have a lot of goals. That's our goal, you know, to be able to do that. So. All right, anyone else before we dismiss for the evening? If not, don't forget we're still in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which means with your meal you have to eat a piece of unleavened bread every day for 7 days. So we will be concluding this at sundown next Saturday, and which is the 8th day going into Sunday, and then we'll come back together and end it. And then I know you guys want some bread and some donuts. I say as soon as you get restrictions, you get taste for all kind of stuff that you don't normally eat anyway. But nevertheless, on that note, have a wonderful rest of your week. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the feast day. And we'll see you at our regular together. Shalom, shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
Shalom.